In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. I feel like I'm constantly reminding myself that we are all carrying around different stressors, big and small. But when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. And naturally, that can start to affect everything else around us too. Therapy can be a safe place to get things off your chest and figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. I know that therapy isn't for everyone, but it definitely has benefited me in the past with learning how to sit with my feelings, set boundaries with people, and I don't know, learn how to function with a little less shame. But if you are thinking of starting therapy and access has been hard for you, maybe BetterHelp is the right fit. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient. You can get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/makeyourbed today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/makeyourbed. Good morning, sunshine. Welcome to another day of the Make Your Damn Bed podcast. Today is the first official deep dive into the artist's way. I've done some past episodes on the first couple of chapters, but I decided to start fresh, jump into it all at once, so that over the next week or so, you could have everything consolidated to return to if you wanted to try the artist's way at your leisure, or if you're someone who has no interest in this topic, you can skip ahead. The Artist's Way, written by Julia Cameron, is a 12-week program to rediscover and reconnect to your inner creative. Week one is all about recovering a sense of safety, initiating your creative recovery. You're going to feel a little excited, maybe a little defiant, and maybe a little skeptical. The tasks that she introduces are aimed at establishing a sense of safety, which will hopefully enable you to explore your creativity with less fear and less resistance. And she begins this week by reminding us that we all have a shadow artist. According to Julia, one of our chief needs as creative beings is support. Unfortunately, support can be hard to come by. The problem is we usually need it early on in our lives, and if we did not receive that from our family and our friend and our close inner circle of teachers and people talking to us about art, our timid inner artist will only become more timid. Personally, my parents were realistic, which isn't always great to an inner artist, because they were comparing it to the world as they knew it, which was not a welcoming place for artists at all. But because of that knowledge and that type of love for me and wanting to give me a more well-rounded and realistic experience, they didn't always fully support or back the art I was making, because in their perspective, it wasn't worth monetary value, which means it could lead to a financial disappointment or a creative disappointment in the future, considering we do live in a world based around capital. But that perspective of honesty and responsibility that my parents took on and then offered to me as a young child and a young creative actually stifled me, because it made me see my art through a lens of fear and what it couldn't get me. For my entire life, I've known I wanted a creative career. I get bored really easily, and I do love thinking and using my brain and creative problem solving and critical thinking. But my dad, being the loving and responsible man he is, was always very practical and pragmatic with his advice. And he told me I should get a more practical and pragmatic career as a result. It's why I chose a degree in education in college, because it was both a pragmatic and practical choice. The world will always need teachers, but it's also one that allows me to be a little creative because I can change grade levels or change subjects. But that means my inner shadow self has always deeply craved a life of creativity. But my more pragmatic self tried to appease and compromise with that side by offering a career that was both practical and somewhat creative. The problem came when I realized that the system was rigged and there was less room for creativity than I thought there would be, because there was a lot of bureaucratic red tape holding us back from doing the actual job of teaching. But that's a story for another day. The story today is that that still stifled my creative energy, and it made me resentful towards the more pragmatic approach because my creative self had been fully stifled and shut down. But it also meant that when I was brave enough to pursue a more creative path to fulfill that inner child, it took me years to unlearn the pragmatic person who had stifled the inner creative, which means only recently I've been comfortable enough to say, I am an artist and a creative. Even though creative work has been my full-time income for my professional career for over 5 years, I have never once been brave enough to call myself an artist, because I never really felt comfortable enough to do so, since I never nurtured that inner artist. It felt wrong to claim the label of something I had spent most of my life stifling. And now that I say that out loud, I kind of did the same thing with my bisexuality and my queerness, in the sense that I spent a lot of time and a lot of my life dedicated to building a wall of shame and protection around my inner baby queer and my inner baby artist, because I knew damn well from my own experience and interaction with the world that the world was not gentle to queers or to artists, so I needed to keep those protected. But by keeping them protected, I never allowed them to fully form or express themselves in a way that the world could see and learn to accept them. So I went a safer route, a more protected route. I chose to put the bumpers up, not realizing that the bumpers don't really save you from the gutter, they just keep you from it for longer. Point is, I became a teacher because it was more practical, and because of that I stifled a lot of my inner identity as an artist and a creative, and as a person who wanted to change the world. And what I didn't recognize at the time is when you stifle something to be quote-unquote safer, you never really can internalize that sense of safety. Instead, you're left with the knowledge that that danger will always be out there lurking and coming for you if you choose to be creative. You have the responsibility of avoiding it. But that's not fair. That danger is a perceived and blown out of proportion societal influence based on years and years of propaganda to keep us cogs in the machine of society. And before I go on a capitalism rant, I want to remind us that just because we ignore a fear does not make it go away. In fact, when we build walls around something, we're technically building a shrine to it, in which we cannot stop engaging with it, even when we want to. This is why a lot of wannabe artists become teachers, or they marry artists, or they have kids that they force into that art so that they can live vicariously without the threats actually affecting them or having the negative impact on their life, because their fear has become so strong that it disconnected them completely from their internal want or desire, which in this case is creativity or art, on a daily basis, infused in everything that we do. There's a Susan Jeffers quote included in this chapter, which I love very much. It says, "We have been taught to believe that negative equals realistic and positive equals unrealistic." And I know from experience that that's not true, despite the culture and society convincing us that it is. The point is, as Julia Cameron puts it, for all shadow artists, life may feel like a disconnected experience, filled with a sense of missed purpose and unfulfilled promise. We as artists want to act and paint and make music and dance and write and create. But so many of us are afraid to take ourselves seriously. But if you can be gentle and deliberate and put in some nurturing with effort and consciousness, you can learn to create in a playful way that allows for yourself to recognize the seriousness in the hard work of allowing yourself to creatively play. Julia Cameron constantly reminds us that our inner artist is just a child, and each of us as individuals are responsible for finding and protecting that child. And she compares teaching yourself to create comfortably is like learning to walk. It's hard. It's a process. The baby steps will feel like shit, and there will be a lot of falls. But if you judged a baby for falling while they're learning to walk for the first time, that would be wild. Just like it would be wild to do any type of critiquing of your internal artist while they are rediscovering themselves. It is a sense of abuse, and we should not be measuring our work against others at all, and we should not be exposing it to external criticism at all, and we should not be trying too much too quickly. If you have stifled your inner artist for your entire life, you must go gently and slowly into the world of creativity so that you can overcome the creative blocks without plowing through them, because no matter how mature you are, your ego will sneak in there and want to remind you that this might be embarrassing and this might not feel comfortable. But if you can learn to welcome those fears and comfort that ego a little bit, you'll start to realize the defensiveness was defensiveness against your own critiques and not the outside world. And you'll also start to realize that a lot of the pressure you were putting on yourself was not real or relevant. So your real enemy is not the world or your fear. It is actually some core negative beliefs that we have internalized and have thus let them block our sense of self and creativity. So if you think you can't spell, or that people don't like you, or that you're annoying, or that you'll hurt someone, or that you'll upset someone, then you'll obviously never fully allow yourself to embrace the play and the joy and the fun in creativity, because you'll constantly be trying to avoid triggering those fears or making them come true. So even if, worst case scenario, your core belief is not just cultural or ingrained, and it does have a root in reality. Say you really are a bad speller. That has not stopped people before from making incredible art, and that should not stop you now. There are spell checks and editors and proofreaders. The point is, no matter the fear, if it becomes the focus, then it is working, because it is distracting you from what you should be focusing on, which is creativity or play or action. Basically, resistance is normal. Internalized negativity is normal, but it is the enemy, and we must become conscious and effortful when we're thinking about how to address these fears so that they no longer dictate how we move. Julia Cameron suggests affirmations, and I, in the past, have also suggested canceling out your negative thoughts with saying out loud two positive affirmations that directly contradict that negative belief or thought, because the intensity of it and the consciousness of it and the challenge of it will help to overwrite those negative core beliefs with more positive and realistic and well-rounded beliefs. Tomorrow, I'll go into some of the affirmations and challenges and suggestions that Julia Cameron has for fighting these negative core beliefs. In the meantime, I want you to know you are allowed to create and fuck up and play and find the joy in things, even though most of us have spent our entire lives learning that we're not supposed to. Free yourself from those shackles, baby, and let your inner shadow artist come out to play. In the meantime, I love you so much. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and I'll talk to you tomorrow while you make your damn bed. Goodbye, beautiful.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.